Thank you very much. It's just a few clicks away from 6 minutes past the hour. And welcome to an event that's 32 years in the making. We have been hosting Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents on this program, both on radio and for about 20 years on television. We did both, not one or the other. But 32 years in the making. It's long running. It's been an amazing partnership. And we've heard listeners tell us, it's not even stuff that I'm making up, that it has saved their life. And that is one of the most rewarding things that you can ever hear. We've had people that heard a particular doctor and then listened and thought, wow, that's me. You're talking directly to me. Dr. Andrew Martin is a pulmonologist. He's board certified in pulmonary disease, sleep medicine, and critical care medicine. Dr. Martin earned his medical degree at the University UMDNJ, that's Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. He went on to complete a residency at Roger Williams Medical Center at Brown University in Rhode Island. After his residency, he completed a fellowship in pulmonary and critical care at UMDNJ, Robert Wood Johnson Medical School. Dr. Martin's special interests include sleep disorders, which Deborah, as I think many of you know, has an incredible sleep diagnostic center. You can stay there. You stay there overnight. You're monitored. And I mean, they do an incredible job and they've helped a lot of people. He also is very, very interested in complicated asthma, especially during pregnancy, and critical care ethics. In addition to being a pulmonologist, Dr. Martin is also the chairman of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And as always, to make an appointment, it is very simple to do. You can do so digitally on the web at demanddeborah.org, or you can call 609-354-7645. 609-354-7645. It is an honor to do the program again with you. And I say this with personal knowledge, because oak tree pollen is my nemesis, and oak trees reside in my backyard. I moved from the beautiful beach area about 30 years ago to my nemesis. 30 years ago, after my first night sleeping with oak trees, I was on a nebulizer to do my show. I couldn't stop coughing. It was, you know, obviously the histamine and everything was overproduced and everything. So your topic today, asthma and allergies, I have immense respect and even personal experience. It's great to welcome you, Dr. Martin.
Well, Harry, thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to talk to you. It's been quite some time.
I know.
And yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you today.
So let's start with asthma. We'll break it down into two categories, asthma and allergies. And of course, we know, and you're going to get into it, how the allergies can become such a trigger. What is asthma, Dr. Martin?
Well, asthma is a disease of the airways that's characterized by variable narrowing of the airways, causing trouble moving air in and out, particularly actually moving air out after you inhale. The hallmark of asthma in terms of those symptoms is it's variability. It can be basically quiescent or asymptomatic for times, and then you can get it aggravated by things like allergies or a simple cold or other upper respiratory infection. And it has to be monitored very closely. But it's basically a trouble with airway narrowing, moving air that is variable from time to time.
And Dr. Martin, there are different types of asthma, correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, I mean, we characterize asthma in terms of its severity, which can have several features. That could be severity of symptoms when they occur. It could be frequency of symptoms. It could be frequency of episodes requiring increases in therapy, such as adding things like prednisone or other systemic steroids. And then we characterize it sometimes by what it is, of course, that aggravates it. For some people, there is simple exercise, and that's the only thing that aggravates their asthma. Some people, it's a particular allergy that aggravates their asthma. So you try to describe really over time what aggravates the asthma, how frequent the symptoms are, how severe they are, and how easy or difficult they are to treat when they do occur.
We are interviewing one of the greats, Dr. Andrew Martin, a very talented pulmonologist, and he is the chairman of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And I seriously did tell everybody all about you, and your background is just fantastic. Who is at risk for asthma?
Well, particularly, you know, people with allergies.
Yep.
People who have a family history of asthma are at risk. And people with lots of exposures are at risk. Other times, people get asthma after any kind of a respiratory infection or exposure. Sometimes people develop asthma after they get exposed to a heavy smoke episode. So we call that reactive airways dysfunction syndrome if that exposure is very acute and it causes troubles right away. But family history of allergies also, in general, puts you at risk for asthma.
Sidebar question. It's not on our agenda, but I just want to slip it in because I think it's an interesting one. Mm-hmm. Can asthma cut down your life expectancy, or is it simply something that you have to manage?
Well, it is always something you have to manage. Whether it affects life expectancy, again, is going to depend on the individual. But if it continues uncontrolled for a long period of time, you risk developing irreversible lung damage, which could cut down on your life expectancy. Initially, usually asthma shows abnormalities that are at least at times completely reversible, so that at times you might be normal if you did lung function testing. As time goes on with significant uncontrolled symptoms, you can develop actually irreversible, you know, lung damage in terms of function.
Wow. So it is important to really be on top of this and do what I'm about
Correct.
To suggest. Anybody out there that is dealing with this, or maybe you think you're dealing with it, give a call, 609-354-7645, or you can do it digitally at demanddeborah.org, and you'll see the hyperlink that will take you right to scheduling, and you'll be, I promise you, very, very well served at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. Dr. Martin, what are the common asthma attack triggers?
The most common triggers are allergies and upper respiratory infections, such as simple colds. Those are the most common. And then there's a host of other things. Again, any irritant can such as perfumes or fumes that you're not technically allergic to can aggravate it. Again, exercise can be triggers and things like that. But the most common cause of flare-ups of asthma are upper respiratory infections and allergies.
We only take one break during Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, and today we are presenting Dr. Andrew Martin, who is a great pulmonologist, and he is the chairman of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. And the topic this half hour on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Dr. Martin, is asthma and allergies. When we come back, we're going to go to allergies. You've got a lot of important information from Dr. Martin on asthma. We're going to now talk about allergies, and then from there, we will get into asthma allergies, because there is a combination of the two. We'll be back. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Back in just a little bit. Don't go away. Much more important content with Dr. Andrew Martin right after this. Thank you. Welcome back. It's 24 minutes past the hour with Dr. Andrew Martin, pulmonologist and the chairman of the Department of Pulmonary Medicine at Deborah Heart and Lung Center. This is Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents. Dr. Martin, and our topic this half hour is understanding asthma and allergies. And I know we are speaking to many, many people. I mentioned right before Dr. Martin arrived, our oldest daughter, who doesn't have allergies typically, we spoke yesterday and she was telling me, how she is being affected by them this year. And then you're hearing from people that are, you know, doing things that they've never had to do before. So evidently, and I'm feeling it, this is a tough allergy season, and there's probably a lot of reasons for that. Mild winter and a lot of things we could go into that we don't have time. But this is something that I think is important to go into with Dr. Martin, because he's the best at conveying what this is all about. And then we'll get back to the allergy portion of today's segment. Dr. Martin, in terms of people that don't usually have allergies, and that now it's like, hey, what's going on? You know, scratchy throat. I feel like I'm sick. All these symptoms that could be just allergies make people think that they have an infection, have the COVID-19 maybe, or something else. So the allergies can be a little tricky, can't they?
Oh, yes, they can. And it's very important to evaluate that kind of thing. If you think about upper airway infections and allergies, the symptoms are very similar. You get a runny nose, you get a stuffy nose, you get some postnasal drip, and you get a sore, scratchy throat. What comes along with that often is a cough. And the cough is often the thing that people see doctors for. They make me. You can hear me clearing my throat as well right now. They may present, rarely will they come in, my nose is stuffed up. Often people treat that at home without trouble. When the cough occurs, that's when the questions about is this something other than a simple upper airway infection occurs. And it's important to remember that one of the most common causes of a chronic cough in primary care practices has always been postnasal drip. And simply speaking, anything that makes you have a scratchy throat will make you cough. Often the cough is interpreted as bronchitis and people are given antibiotics, but it's still important to control those upper airway symptoms. Scratchy throat, particularly if it's from postnasal drip or other nasal problems, can very easily be treated with simple honey or cough drops that soothe the throat, and that often makes the cough better.
Yeah.
The other thing to kind of remember is that just making a bit of phlegm may not indicate that the lungs are the primary problem, because anything that makes you cough will eventually make you make some phlegm. That's just part of the reflex. So analyzing these symptoms and kind of treating, and it's important no matter what you have, if you have a cough or you have asthma or any wheezing, that you do want to control those upper airway symptoms and pay attention to how your throat feels as well.
Now, the flip side, maybe it's not the flip side, but it is another component here. If you have the allergies raging and you're overproducing the histamine and everything that's associated with that, you can develop sinusitis or a bronchitis, correct?
Yes, you can. Sinusitis particularly, because what happens is if the tubes that drain your sinuses get closed up, then mucus and other fluid can build up there, and sometimes that can result in a true infection. There is a difference between just having rhinitis or nasal congestion and true infection. If it's untreated and not effectively draining, that can develop a true infection, yes.
What I'm about to say is unpleasant because it's so beautiful and you want to go outside, but I have found that for about 7 weeks, I just have to limit the amount of time I spend outside. Almost, you know, I tease and say I'm a house cat, because if I can stay ahead of the histamine, then I'm not going to get laryngitis. I'm not going to, you know, get something that will affect me from being able to work. You know, some people can get laryngitis and just go to work and you sound a little funny. I can't speak for 4 hours and 6 minutes, or my part of 4 hours and 6 minutes, if I don't stay ahead of the histamine. What is the best way to do that?
It is a bit complicated. When it comes to nasal allergies, the most effective medicines are the nasal steroids. These are fluticasone or triamcinolone, which are available over the counter and relatively benign. They do have some side effects sometimes after prolonged use. People sometimes develop nosebleeds. But using them for a few days or a week or two are very effective. The antihistamine medicines, your cetirizine, your loratadine, those are also very effective and often probably best used as adjuncts to the nasal steroids if the allergies are chronic. There is another medicine, Montelukast, which is sometimes used for allergies and asthma. The problem with that drug is it's useful for both, but it's also not the best drug for both. So sometimes that's good as an add-on. But the primary treatment for those is nasal steroids, and they're available over-the-counter and pretty simple to use.
Dr. Martin, a quick question on, you mentioned loratadine, or you called it loratadine, and you're right, I'm wrong. Loratadine, I'm a big fan of, and I've been taking it for a long time. If you take an allergy medicine for a long time, should you switch and go away from it because of you build a tolerance or it's not as effective over time, or will it always work well during allergy season?
That's a good question. I think the main thing to remember is it's always a good idea, especially if you think you're out of your allergy season, to try stopping it for a few days at least. I don't know that there's any tolerance built up to these medicines, but sometimes the allergens do overcome them. So I think you have to kind of look at these things. Now, you know, for most people, nasal allergies aren't particularly dangerous. They're more bothersome. So the decision to treat them or not can be subjective. But I think what you want to avoid is using medicines you don't necessarily need. When you're using a medicine for things like allergies that may come and go, it's always a good idea to ask yourself, well, let's see what happens if I go off the medicine. If for most people, that's not a dangerous thing to do.
Dr. Martin, here's something I've done for the last 2 years. When I'm at this 7-week stretch of peak oak tree pollen, which I've isolated is the one that is my, you know, crusher. It just demolishes me if I didn't treat. I have fallen in like with Flonase. I was recommended to do it for a long time. I'm very hesitant to take anything. I don't like taking anything, but I will tell you that it's been life-changing. It is a difference maker.
It is. It is. For many people, it's a dramatic improvement. And sometimes the only thing that really makes a difference. Again, if you buy a medicine like that over the counter, the instructions will generally say, start with 2 sprays each side once a day. And when things get better, you can back it off to 1 spray once a day. And I think even if things get better, you can either stop it or perhaps maybe use it every other day. Those are also things you can do. The allergies and asthma particularly, it's also important these days to know that there are more advanced therapies for these diseases now that are out. I'm sure you've seen the ads on television for a lot of them. So when things are serious and you've tried nasal steroids and you've tried montelukast and you've tried antihistamines, there are things that can also be added nowadays to control severe or otherwise uncontrollable symptoms. And it's important to know those options are out there.
I know we're running out of time quick. We've got about 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then I know we have to let you go. Basic but very important question. What are allergies?
Oh, well, true allergies are triggered by a antibody response to something you are truly allergic to. And these antihistamine is a compound that's released in response to these compounds that causes your nasal passages to become closed and makes you make mucus and things like that. And it is true that you do have to distinguish sometimes between an intolerance or an irritation versus a true allergy. Sometimes it requires simply just cataloging what exactly it is that aggravates your problems. Sometimes it does require testing for allergy to specific things. This may be done by an allergist either by certain blood tests, which can measure antibody levels, which is a piece of information, or sometimes you do skin tests. They become very useful if you can find one specific thing that someone's allergic to.
What are common allergens?
Trees, grass, pollen are the most common. When it comes to animals, cats are usually more allergic than dogs.
Yeah, that's mine.
Yeah, yeah.
I have no problem with dogs. Oh, my God. Cat dander is devastating to me.
Yeah, yeah. More people are allergic. Dogs don't tend to be as triggering. And, you know, it's important, too, to remember, if you're going to clear your health of an allergen such as a cat, it may take several months before, after you clear the house, before the allergens in the house fall off. The other common allergens are indoor allergens, things like dust mites or other indoor compounds, and these tend to cause allergies throughout the year in a less seasonal way. So particularly dust mite allergy is very common.
This, I think, is really important because I advertised that we would talk about it, and I think it is a really good maybe place that will end. What is allergic or allergy-induced asthma?
Well, that's simply asthma that's felt to have a very an allergic component. Not all asthmatics are triggered by allergy. As I said, sometimes there's other things that are non-allergic, but very, very commonly, and probably in the ballpark, around 50% of asthma is going to be somehow connected to an allergy of some sort.
Dr. Martin, let me give you a closing comment, whether it's about treatment or anything that you want to close with.
Oh, well, I mean, I think when it comes to cough, especially this time of year, I would just say, pay attention to how your throat feels. It's often forgotten. And again, when you have a scratchy throat and a cough, simple things that soothe your throat, honey, cough drops, if they help with the cough, then use them. They're very benign, and they may avoid getting on antibiotics that maybe you don't need or other steroids that maybe you don't need. So that's when it comes to cough, pay attention to how your throat feels. Also, when it comes to cough, pay attention to whether you have heartburn. That's also a common aggravator of cough.
I learned the cough drop and the honey recommendation from you so many years ago, and it's been a lifesaver. It absolutely works, yes. So to make an appointment, you can call 609-354-7645. That's 609-354-7645, or digitally, any digital device at demanddeborah.org. You've been listening to my friend Dr. Andrew Martin, pulmonologist, the chairman of the Department of Pulmonology on Medicine, and that's our topic today on Deborah Heart and Lung Center Presents, Understanding Asthma and Allergies. Dr. Martin, I can't wait till we do it again.
Thank you very much for having me, Harry.
Take good care.
You too.
Thank you, my friend.